Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by the podcast What Makes a Killer. Be sure to search and subscribe for What Makes a Killer in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever your favorite podcast is. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the spirit of a deceased loved one returns to haunt the people who now inhabit the home he spent most of his life in.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, we would absolutely love to hear them. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show and you're feeling generous and you're like, you know what, I want a whole bunch of extra stuff with the show. I want more content. I want episodes before everybody else. I want exclusive episodes. I want a way to get stories directly to these guys before everybody else. Maybe they can read it on the air. I want their ebook. I want their audiobook. Well, good news. If that's on your list of shit you want, then all you have to do is become an extra podcast person. An EPP, as we call them. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com. You get everything I just talked about right there. And your $5 collectively as a whole with all of our great listeners over the years supporting us allows us to do this program. So if you can, please support us. Keep us on the air. We greatly appreciate it. Today, it's Tony and Carol Hughes joining you. And how are things in your world, Carol?
Fine, Tony. You made me laugh when you said, if that's on the list of shit you want, that's how you sell yourself right there.
It's just keeping it real, yo.
But here's the thing, because I listen to podcasts myself.
Yeah.
And it's like, I always get really frustrated when I'm listening and I want to go to the next episode and there isn't one.
Yeah.
And that's what's the fun thing is there are so many episodes.
7 days a week on our feed of Real Ghost Stories Online, there is something there. Four out of those days is full episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online. One of the days is a preview of an EPP episode, a full 15-minute preview. So, I mean, that's like the length of some podcasts. There's a preview of The Grave Talks, which is another like 15-minute preview. And then there's the best of. So it's actually 5 days of full episode content, and there's some, you know, kind of teases, kind of some extras there. So we always got stuff, and I think, you know, it all kind of started. I mean, years ago, we did 7 days a week of the show, and then an eighth day that was an EPP. And we decided after about a year of doing that, we're going to burn ourselves out completely if we continue at this pace. So we had to cut back to a more realistic level. I mean, nobody was doing eight episodes a week. Hell, most people don't do, you know, two episodes a week. But so we cut it back to something more manageable. But that was like 6-7 years ago. But no, I mean, it's with COVID, I said, let's get some more content out there. I don't know if it's best of. I don't know if it's, you know, some EPP stuff we were doing for a little while, just running some old episodes. But the audience has responded really positively, loving it. And so we've created that weekend episode in COVID that's going to be here forever with Harper co-hosting. That's a whole new episode with Harp on it once a week. And then I'm throwing in the from our archive. I've always wondered, you know, we got so many stories. It'd be fun to pull back some of them that aren't on iTunes anymore and just kind of, you know, either you can re-listen to it if you're a super loyal listener or it's brand new. You've never heard it before. So it's fun. I mean, it's also interesting to listen to a show from 7 years ago. And just kind of hear how much things sound different.
You know? Yeah. And sometimes it can be a little embarrassing, too.
It can be. You know, it's funny because when we've obviously both worked in music radio for most of our lives. And once you're in music radio and you've been doing it for a while, you kind of develop your sound and you're good. And there's not a lot of change at a certain point. You kind of hit that, like, plateau area for yourself, and that's how you're going to sound. But doing talk like this, it's almost like starting at radio again from the beginning, I feel, because it's a different kind of rhythm than music radio. And I can hear, I sound a lot more natural these days than I did in the first couple years of doing the show. Just because.
Yeah, because back then you were trying to be professional. Now you don't give any shit.
Exactly. It's just you put on your don't give a shit and suddenly everything sounds better. But no, seriously, I mean, it's just more of a, you know, I'm more comfortable in my own skin.
I totally get.
And if you're not on a daily talk show, it's difficult to feel comfortable talking for, you know, hours on end when we've been told forever 60 seconds or less or 30 seconds or less and shut up. It's like, ah. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Coming up just a little bit, I got a interesting story that I read earlier where there was a very bizarre, unexplained, strange kind of goo-like substance that started dripping down the walls of a couple's home recently. They didn't know what the hell it was. I mean, it was like, sounded like something straight out of Amityville. It was, but there was a very practical explanation. It's one of those.
Okay, but is it going to be super gross?
No.
It's something that will stick in my head.
No, there was no body rotting above, which is actually where
it doesn't involve insects, right?
I'm not going to say anything. It may not. They may play a part in this story, but it's not a gross story. My mind went to they bought the house and like there was a body in the floorboard decomposing and then it, you know, slowly was trickling through. But that was not the case in this one.
My thought was, oh, my God, this is going to be some gross insect story.
Nope. So that's coming up in just a little bit. I'm not going to read it verbatim because I don't have it in front of me verbatim, but I can give you the highlights. Let's go to our first story of the day. As soon as I can scroll myself over to it. All right. It says, this is really not a story. It happened. I'm now 70 years old, and this happened in 1988. I was living in San Antonio, Texas at the time, in a trailer park down the street from Fort Sam Houston. One day, a lady who was widowed asked me to check out a water leak in her trailer. Upon entering her trailer, we turned to the right and down a hallway. I was following her. And as we passed a bedroom to the left, which the door was opened, I looked in and saw an old man lying on the bed. He had a right leg stump upon a pillow, which had been amputated at some point. He rolled my way, partially, on his right arm, smiled at me, and waved with his left hand. He was very pale, bald, and had dark circles around his eyes. I smiled and waved back and continued to the bathroom, where I took care of the water leak. When I left, the woman had closed the door to the bedroom, so I never saw the old man when I left the trailer. The next day, my neighbor George brought over his lawnmower to see if I could get it started. It was brand new, and he did not realize he had to squeeze the handle to start it. We laughed, and I mentioned the old man in the widow's trailer. I'd never seen him out and wondered if he knew of him. George asked me what he looked like, so I explained what had happened and what he looked like. And George kind of frowned and told me the lady lived alone, but I had described her late husband that had died 2 years earlier. I never pursued it any further as it kind of creeped me out. About 2 weeks had gone by, another lady had another leak, so I went with her again. This time I was going to talk to the old man if I could. When we got to the bedroom, I looked in again, but this time the room was full of stuff as she was using it as her junk room. The last time I had seen it, it was immaculate and had a sheen to it, like bright sunlight coming in. Never said anything to the widow lady, just repaired the leak and left. Never entered her trailer after that, but the memory of the old man is clear in my mind today. I cannot explain it any further, but I always wished I had spoken to that old man when I first encountered him. I hope you like this true story. It is all there is. Thoughts?
I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you're living in the house, you're feeling kind of some weird ominous presence or something. You just walked in to do a job,
mm-hmm.
and you see a guy. You're like, hey, how's, you know, hey, guy. And then you do what you have to do and being a good guy. And then you find out there's nobody that lives there. You know, that guy is actually dead.
Yeah.
That's crazy because it's not like he would have walked in with any ideas about it.
No.
Like, ooh, there's ghosts in this trailer. And besides, who thinks of ghosts in a trailer?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure there are haunted trailers, but we never discuss that.
We've got our handful of trailer stories over the years. We really have. But
can we do that for Halloween this year?
Just haunted trailers?
on a trailer. I don't know.
But
that makes it doubly scary because I've lived in a trailer.
You know, there is an element of spookiness sometimes to them, depending on the setting and depending how well it's kept up. I had a my mother's dad lived in one when I was a kid, and he was really never much of a grandpa to me, so that's why I don't really describe him as grandpa. But we would visit every now and then, and it was kind of, I mean, he did not keep it up. He was suffering with alcoholism and God knows what else that was undiagnosed, but just kind of let everything go. And it was kind of scary in there. My other experience in a trailer was my grandparents, my dad's parents, who had died before I was ever born in a car accident. They had a little trailer down by the lake near where I grew up. And they just kind of used it as like a little getaway, little summer cottage type thing. It wasn't their primary residence. And it remained in the family for years and years. And my uncle ended up living in it for a little while when he was a late teen, early 20 something. And then after that, it just sat. And then the family just, every once in a while, one of the brothers or sisters had to go check on it. And I remember going down there with my dad. I was probably about 7 or 8 years old. I was like, let's go check the trailer. Okay. So we go in there, open the door. And I shit you not. And shit is the operative word. Every single open space. Difficult to walk through this place. Raccoon shit everywhere. On every chair, on every open space, on every counter, all over the floor. Clearly, like, no one had checked on this trailer in several months, at least. Because, I mean, it used to be just kind of, it looked like a 1970s, shag carpet trailer. And it wasn't really that spooky or anything, but it was just, it was a place you could use as a cabin, I guess, but there wasn't that problem in it. And my only memory prior to that was like watching whatever would come in on the black and white television, in that living room while my dad did his kind of checks around the area. And it was okay back then. And then that visit was like, what happened here? And we never ended up going back to that trailer again. And shortly thereafter, I think the family had it removed from the woods because it was just getting infested with stuff and you didn't know what you were going to walk into. But I get it. I mean, there can be kind of a spooky atmosphere sometimes in any setting, really. But those are some of the spooky trailer memories that I have.
But I just wouldn't walk into a trailer thinking this place could be haunted. You know how, sure, like, you'll see a house from the outside and you think, this could be haunted.
Yeah.
But you don't really think about it if it's a trailer.
You know, a lot of times you don't. And I don't know why that is. I mean, you can go into some and go, it's kind of messy. I mean, as you could with a house. Maybe it's just because houses are more of it's a structural thing that will truly stand the test of time longer than a trailer will. So that's what you would naturally have. More structural homes that are 100 years old versus, I mean, I don't think you're going to find a 100-year-old trailer. And if you do, if it's still in any sort of condition to go into, it's more of an urban relic than it is a spooky type situation. But I don't know, it's interesting. Back to the conversation in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, the podcast What Makes a Killer. From Audioboom, the network behind Mafia, Covert, comes the season 2 of this true crime podcast called What Makes a Killer. Jennifer Nitoso, every single Thursday, dives deep into the lives and crimes of some of the most infamous serial killers out there. And these are such interesting stories that she's gotten this season of What Makes a Killer. Dorothea Punette, Night Stalker Richard Ramirez, Edward Kemper. Yeah, she goes in, interviews detectives, family members, forensic experts, even some of the survivors. What Makes a Killer gives you insight into the events that turn these people into cold-blooded killers. Did greed turn Dorothea into the grandma serial killer? Was Kemper prone to become a killer because of the severe abuse that he suffered at the hand of his mother? Gotta check it out. Make sure to search and subscribe for What Makes a Killer. An Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever your favorite podcast app is. It's a great podcast. What Makes a Killer? Check it out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our next one. It says, so I was either in middle school or high school. I can't remember. But I was at my best friend's house. We were watching a movie. Don't remember what movie, but it was when we finished, it was late. We fixed, it was time for bed. So we turn off the movie, got off the couch, went into the kitchen for water, sat on the couch. TV was off. But for some reason, I look at the TV longer than I should. And in the TV that, mind you, was off, I saw a little girl staring at me vividly. And she had long blonde hair, was wearing a Victorian dress for a little girl. Beautiful dress. She was smiling at me. I looked at the seat next to me, and there was nothing. Looked back at the TV. She was there. I was just sitting there looking at her. And shortly after, my friend comes next to me and tries to get my attention. She's calling my name and trying to talk to me, but I don't hear her. Nor do I see her, but I feel her presence, so I know she's there. My eyes are just transfixed on the little girl on TV. Finally, the little girl vanishes, and I have my free movement of my body. I look over at my friend, and she asked what happened, and I tell her, and she says, stay here. She leaves to go get her mom. Her mom comes running into the living room and kneels in front of me and looked into my eyes and starts talking to me, asking me what happened. I told her, and she said something to me I cannot remember. But the whole situation is still vivid in my mind, and I know that there are strange things that have happened to my best friend and her family. I've been there for most of them. I'm used to this, but that was the first time I've experienced something that paranormal. I'm still awfully close with my best friend and her family to this day. We've shared so many experiences and have learned life lessons together, and sometimes we will have paranormal experiences now. It's been a while, but I've told her that my parents' house is haunted. I've recently moved out of that house, but I still go there to see my family, and it's still haunted. My mom calls them her people. I've been listening to you guys for a while now on Spotify. I love you guys. Thank you for doing what you do, and keep it up. Sarah from Washington. Yeah, what I really want to know is what the mom said. I think it'd be worth going back and asking the mom, since she's still friends with the family. Do you remember that time? What did you say to me after that happened?
Because I would think the mom would remember that.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I mean, but I would want to know.
It probably just depends on maybe the frequency at which the mom was experiencing stuff of her own there in the house as to how much that incident stood out to her versus other things. But yeah, I'd be curious if it was like, it's okay, you know, we see him a lot too, you're not alone, or if it was like, it's okay, it was just your imagination, no big deal, you know. I'm curious as to what that would be,
because we have talked a lot about that, how parents tend to downplay it or ignore it, and I think not to scare the kids, and that makes sense to me.
Yeah,
because if I had kids, I wouldn't be like, whoa, do you see that shit?
Yeah, I mean,
that's,
I would, but
freaky shit. Yeah.
I think it's with the best of intentions when a parent is trying to downplay something. You know, I do it. You know, Jen does it. Not ghostly. We've never really had a situation, I guess, knock on wood, where we felt like we've had to do that at all, or there was anything that was of that nature. But, you know, sometimes when a kid, especially when they're a little bit younger, Harp's kind of out of the stage now, but when she was, you know, 4 or 5 years old, there's that window of time where after they, you know, they take a fall or something, or trip or whatever it may be, where they're almost like, it's beyond the baby stage of instant crying. It's at the moment of, I'm kind of confused. Is this the time where I cry? You know, am I hurt enough to cry? Is this really? And that's, you got like 5 seconds or less to jump in there as a parent and be like, Hey, did you see that pony the other day? And try and distract.
Immediate distraction.
Immediately distract. But then you go back once they've kind of removed themselves from that moment of, I might just burst into screaming tears right now. You can go back, and you should go back and address, you know, hey, you okay? That was a bit of a tumble. And they'll, 9 times out of 10, if you can do that, they'll be like, yeah, I'm okay. That kind of hurt, but, you know, maybe get a Band-Aid or something, versus, oh my God, are you okay? What is going on? Oh, should we get this? You know, you do that, you're going to freak the kid out, and of course they're going to cry. You're also going to enable them, and you're going to condition them to think that every time anything slightly injurious happens, it calls for this sort of a, you know, call out for help. And most little things don't need that. And I did that a lot with Harp, of just the distract, and then, you know, address, make sure she's okay, obviously. But when you know there's no brutal injury here, it's just, you know, a little scraped knee or something even lighter than that, it works. And very quickly, I didn't have to be doing or keeping a hawk's eye every 5 seconds to have to swoop in. She just naturally ended up being like, it's okay. No big deal. Just a little bump, you know, when she's out on her bike or whatever, as opposed to the constant child that shows up screaming bloody murder and as if it's, you know, a terrorist attack. It's night and day when you can do that with, but you know, it comes down to personality too.
And I am a little bit concerned about that woman's mother who calls the ghosts her people.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I'm like, is it that she's so cool with them, or is she too cool with them? There's a fine line. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
These are my people. I'm thinking of like some, wasn't that like a Luke Bryan song or something, or Rodney Atkins? Or...
It was a Rodney Atkins
yeah.
song.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking of that's interesting. A little too comfy with the people there, yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Before we go to our next caller, I had said earlier there was a family that it looked like, the pictures looked like it's something straight out of Amityville. Not only because they have wallpaper, and it's not even like wallpaper has made a comeback, I know, but this is clearly not comeback wallpaper. This is the design on it, I think, was like something my mom had in one of our bathrooms in 87.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
Wallpaper got really bad.
It looks like that kind of like stenciled flower, space by space wallpaper, where like every 4 inches there's just a flower that looks like it was hand stenciled on the wallpaper. It's like that. And then you see this goo that looked like it's just kind of coming from the corner of the ceiling on down. I mean, it's something straight out of freaking Amityville. And the couple was, they bought the house, it's a 100-year-old house, seemed to be okay. This is why you do home inspections, kids. They should find shit like this. They start living there and they start hearing a lot of noise up in the attic. And they're like, what the hell is going on? You know, what is that noise? They go up there, they check. They don't see anybody in the attic. They don't see anything in the attic. And it's relatively quiet every time they check. Turns out they had somebody come in. They start seeing the goo coming down the walls. And then they're freaking out. They're hearing these noises and goo's coming down, but only in this area of the house. So they have somebody come out, take a look at it. They test the substance to see what the hell it is. It is, any guess?
Honey.
Honey. Yes. They had approximately 20 to 30,000 bees.
Oh, God.
Living between floors. So that's why they didn't see anything in the attic, because there was floorboards in the attic. And they were between the floorboard and the ceiling of the floor below it. And they had made a ginormous hive in there. Probably it's been going on for...
This will give me nightmares tonight.
Decades. Yeah.
This is the kind of shit that grosses me out. And you're right about the home inspection.
Yeah.
But because they are bees, are they protected? And did they have to get like a bee... person, there's another word for mm-hmm. it, not a bee person.
Yeah.
But did they come and get the hives and move them?
Yeah, they had systems or people come in that collect the bees and all that, and they got the bees out of there. So in a safe way where they didn't kill the bees. And that's an interesting, that's a thing. I mean, there's a lot of people like who are seeking out bees hive, and that's
okay. They're getting endangered. Yeah. And I watched one of those home improvement shows. I think it was called Hometown.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. I like that couple.
I got a story for you on that. Go ahead.
They renovated a house, and there was bats in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
And because bats are protected, they couldn't just kill them. And there was, I can't remember how many, there was hundreds, it seems like.
God.
So they had to get somebody to capture the bees.
Or the bats.
And they didn't really show that process because they acted like there was hundreds of them up there. But when you saw it, it was only like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But so even if you have bats, you have to have someone professionally not kill them, but remove them. So you don't exterminate them.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking bees were like that too.
Yeah, bees, I believe, are. I think they're. I think you have to. I don't know for sure, but I would. That's the right thing to do because they can go live peaceful lives and do the benefit that they do to nature elsewhere. And they do certainly do good. But yeah, that's that hometown show.
And
that,
the cost. Yeah. Because you'd have to tear out walls and shit to get them.
Well, there's so many things where there's a haunting going on and there's a logical explanation for it. And this. Or people think it's a haunting, and there's a logical explanation for it. And there's a prime example of it right there. Now, Jen watches that.
Taking over all your stuff and shitting on it.
Exactly. Jen watches Hometown religiously ever since, like, Fixer Upper went off the air. And we were actually, it was funny, a year ago, 2 years ago, something like that, we went down to Gulf Shores in Florida. And on the way down, we drove it and we stopped in Laurel, Mississippi, which is where they are and where they filmed the show. And it was funny as we were driving through their downtown. It's just you get to these small, you know, a small town or something. And if there's a show there, you know, your odds of running into the people who star in the show are not great. Guess who's like trying to park in front of me? And then they get out and then they like wave at me to like, you know, can you hang on a second? We want to get our baby stroller out of our car and cross the street. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm like, there's the people. They were right. Yeah. And then we went to their shop and checked it out. And here's the funny part. 2 days, actually it was more like a week later, on our way back from, Gulf Shores, we stopped in, where's the University of Mississippi? That one town. It's not Laurel.
I have no idea.
I think it's Oxford, Mississippi. Pretty sure it was Oxford. I could be wrong, but they got a great little downtown there and shopping and all that sort of stuff. And we were just driving back. It was kind of our halfway point. And we said, okay, let's stop here for the night and we can walk around the downtown. And who do we run into? Downtown, like 2 hours from their house too. They're just like out for a weekend with their kid pushing the stroller. It's the people from Hometown again. And I'm like, is this like, am I like supposed to go and talk to them or something? This is kind of a weird coincidence that I'm running into them a week later in a completely different city. And it's like, hi, I do podcasts. I used to have a show on Travel Channel. Maybe we can talk. I'm not.
You know. I just walk up and say something stupid. Like, I really like your show. Like, I've never heard that before.
Well, that's the thing. Then they started getting, it was like their first season had just ended. So they weren't super popular yet, but they were getting noticed enough where it was getting uncomfortable for them, I could tell. And they just ended up trying to get into their car with their baby and the stroller. And I felt bad for them. I never said boo to them, but I did pass them on the sidewalk and just said, hey, and that was it. So. But yeah, I mean, they seem like a nice couple, but it's you know, you can't leave your house now to go and do little things like that that you love. And I think I would really miss that if people started recognizing me at that level. But I'm okay. I'm cool with the like once a year at Target where somebody says, hey, I know you. I'm like, great. Hopefully it's for a good reason. And it's usually like,
money.
Yeah, the last one was Target here in town and someone came up and they're local here and they it was weird. We were in the patio section. They're like, are you Tony and Jenny Bruschi? Yes, we are. Like,
love your money.
I listen to you every day.
<That's> cool.
I was like, that's cool. But it's, you know, it's not anywhere near the level of folks like that from like
I
Hometown.
I get super excited in my town when my dog gets recognized.
Oh, you get recognized every damn place you go.
Well, but my dog, that's what excites me. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be walking and somebody will go, buddy?
Sure.
If he's super recognizable looking, because he's red and got a super white face and kind of looks like a possum.
Yeah.
Like a really fat, oversized possum. But, although he's red. But I always get the biggest kick out of it when people don't say hi to me.
They know you by the dog. Well, they're like, that looks like it could be Carol, you know?
But, no, it's more like Buddy.
But the dog is there, so that like confirms it's you.
Because somebody messaged me last night and said, because Buddy's 14 years and 7 months.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want this to sound weird, but I really want to meet Buddy. Because she knows, like, the time's getting limited.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we can make it happen.
It's like a make-a-wish to meet your dog. Yeah.
I'm like, he won't like you, but that's fine.
Yeah, he's going to think you're a threat. But
my dog doesn't like anybody.
Yeah. This will be great. Yeah. Well, people, they see you and the dog and they know it's you. I think our friend Ross, who works over at the TV station there in Wichita, I think kind of had that going on with his dog, Millie, for a while. Because he put his dog on television when he did the weather forever. And then he'd take the dog out and people would, I think, recognize the two of them by the dog. And yeah, this is kind of funny. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Summer in Buffalo. I was giving you a call because I had something interesting happen to me last night, and I wanted to let you guys know. For those that don't know, I live in a 200-year-old farmhouse near Buffalo, New York, and I've had some interesting things happen there. This one, is definitely the most visually active that I've ever seen as far as anything strange occurring. I was sitting in my living room about 11 o'clock at night, and all the lights were off except for the TV. I was finishing up, about to go to bed, and from my window, you can see the neighbor's driveway, and their two cars are facing me, so they turn in and they face me. Just happens to be from that window. And I look over and there's I see the back of a gentleman kind of hunched over walking between the cars. And I realize the guy has no feet and I don't think he had a head. But then he just, when I had that thought and I realized that, then he just disappeared. The area is well lit. My neighbor has a light that shines on there, so it's illuminated. It looked, save for the missing head and the feet, it looked like a person walking away. And he had like this dark blue kind of work shirt on with dark blue jeans, and and when you see stuff like that, you don't, it's kind of funny because I feel like your brain doesn't understand what's going on. So it just kind of has this war with itself. And it's kind of what I did. I'm like, did I just see what I think I just saw? and that's kind of what I was going through, but that's not the oddest part of this story. A few days prior to that, My dad's been passed since like 1998 is when he passed, so it's been a long time. And I was really missing him. And I said, Dad, I hope you're okay. I really miss you. I really want to see you if you can visit or, you know, do something. I was just kind of talking to the air. And the strange part about that saw walk between the cars is that my father, he was an auto mechanic for about 50 years. So his go-to outfit of choice was a dark blue work shirt and dark blue jeans. So it's odd that I couldn't see feet or a head. And I mean, I don't, you know, Jenny always says she doesn't believe in coincidences, and I get that, but I just, the correlation was a little too convenient. Anyway, I just wanted to call that one in. It's definitely the most recent interesting thing. In other news, in the old barn, I've started what I call a kind of an archaeological dig, because we're clearing out the barn area so we can put in a patio, because the walls of the barn are still there. So the stone walls, and it's really beautiful and it's really old, and we want to make, you know, keep as much of the history as possible. But I've been sifting through, and I found a lot of old things. We found a cap to a Pontiac chieftain from 1953. It was a wheel cap. We found an old iron, cast iron pot with a broken wooden handle, and just a really old bottles and things like that. And it's definitely been interesting and fun, but I don't know if I'm stirring stuff up or what's going on. But I just wanted to call in that story and give you a little update on our house. Anyway, have a good day, guys. Bye.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. Thoughts?
You know, I have a lot of respect for someone who can live in a house that's that old.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way I could do that. And I do kind of think there's something to stirring some stuff up when you start messing with the original building.
Yeah.
Or renovating things. I do think that.
Sure.
I don't know if I saw, I don't, she said a man, but if there's no head or no legs, that would be like the breaking point for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know if you could really definitively say for sure. I mean, coincidence, maybe, but could you have just seen a headless, legless ghost?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just, that would freak the shit out of me.
I don't think I could walk away from that just being like, I'm good, you know, and just yeah, all right? Calm. It's just, that's not, there's just, I couldn't.
No,
I could not walk away from that.
And that's why, I don't know, like, I don't know. I think if I was to have some sort of paranormal connection, and I do think I kind of have had with my dad, but it wasn't scary sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. But seeing somebody without head or without legs, I don't know. I think I couldn't get past the fact that I saw that.
Sure.
It's kind of like going back to the trailer guy, you know, like, hey, I'm waving at you as you walk by to fix that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that just sticks with you forever. At least that earlier guy, he doesn't live there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, I mean, respect for people who can. Mm-hmm. I get too scared.
Yeah. I would too. I couldn't do it. Thank you for,
let me add this.
Yeah.
She sounds so calm and normal, just like, hey, another ghost story. And I don't think I could be that person.
Summer has called into the show several times with a lot of ghost stories. So
by her.
Yeah.
I would like to meet her. She's so cool and calm.
I think it's one of those things where, you know, once you kind of have so many experiences, it's like, yep, here's another one, you know. But
listen, legless dude, walking by.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for sharing that story with us. The number is 855-853-4802 at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP is what we call them. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.